T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We talked to the New York Post, Brian Costello, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're good. We are trying to navigate ourselves through an Elijah Moore world right now, and I think both of us are really kind of excited about the prospect of Elijah Moore. Should we be excited, or should we be maybe a little tampered with our excitement?
Well, I think you should be excited. I think Elijah Moore is going to really take a big step with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback. Elijah showed flashes with the Jets. It just seemed like he was always held back by the quarterback position with the Jets. And, you know, if you look at his numbers and compare his splits with Zach Wilson versus the other quarterbacks versus Mike White or Joe Flacco, he's always played better with other quarterbacks. There was something about him and Zach Wilson that just didn't mix. Zach didn't have a lot of success with anyone, but the Elijah Moore numbers are stark, the differences with other quarterbacks. So, you know, in my mind, with Aaron Rodgers potentially coming to the Jets, I thought Elijah Moore was going to take a huge step with the Jets this year, and now it'll be with Deshaun Watson, so I think there's reason to be excited.
What were some of the issues that he had, the off-the-field issues? Because people made the comments that maybe this guy is not the best teammate, best locker room guy. What do you have to say about that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. And I wouldn't even use the word off the field, because it was really about on the field issues. Like, off the field implies legal issues or anything like that.
Right.
It was really about football. It was, you know, he went, I think it was 4 games with like no catches or one catch, or like one target. It was something crazy in the middle of the year last year. He just wasn't getting the ball, and if you guys have spent any time around wide receivers, they don't like it when they're not getting the ball. And I think he kind of was getting a little jealous of Garrett Wilson, the rookie, had a big game against the Browns in week 2. If you remember that comeback, the Jets comeback, Garrett Wilson scored 2 touchdowns, was a focal point of the offense. And I think Elijah's kind of looking, you know, how come I'm not getting the ball? And then a few weeks later, Braxton Berrios, they were using him on jet sweeps. And Elijah Moore was saying, how come I'm not being used on jet sweeps? So he just was unhappy with his role. And then things kind of boiled over after they played the Packers, and he tweeted about he wasn't happy. And then at a practice that week, he blew up at Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator. They sent him home. They made him inactive. He demanded a trade. You know, nothing came of it. I do think the Jets had a bye a few weeks later, and he came back a different guy and sort of accepted that he was going to be there. And I thought he finished the season strong. He did, the numbers might not show it, but he was open a lot, and Zach Wilson couldn't get him the ball, or Mike White or whoever was that quarterback couldn't get him the ball much. But I never sensed from other players that he was a problem in the locker room. He just had this issue with not getting the ball and was vocal about it. But I've seen a lot of wide receivers who acted the same way, and I don't think he'll be an issue for Cleveland.
Yeah, Brian, it kind of reminds me of OBJ in a little bit of a way, where, yeah, like, I've seen in support of multiple wide receivers for the Jets come out and be like, yeah, like, he's going to be great. He's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We enjoyed him here. Same thing with OBJ. It was like, well, all right, a lot didn't go right, but inside the locker room with the receivers, he was really kind of a fan favorite.
Yeah, I think the locker room liked him. The coaching staff, I'm not sure. I think they had some issues with him, obviously, before.
Yeah.
And I do think I believe this was a coach-driven move here from the Jets' perspective. I think they liked Mecole Hardman and did not like Elijah Moore, and felt like that was a good swap for them to make. And I think they were the ones kind of pushing Joe Douglas to do this. And then when the Browns offered a second-round pick, I think Douglas jumped at it, because obviously he's trying to stock up some picks here if this big trade is going to happen. So, you know, I wouldn't expect him to be an issue in the locker room. And I think if he's not getting the ball, then he'll probably gripe. But I think that's most of the wide receivers I've ever covered are like that.
Brian Costello, New York Post, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. So what type of receiver are we getting here? I know a lot of people have been talking about the difference with him in the slot from one year to the next. Where should the Browns be playing him? How should they be using him?
Yeah, I do think he's a better slot receiver than outside. He's 5'10", right? So he really gets pushed around if he's on the outside. The Jets used him outside as a rookie, and I thought he was miscast. And then last year, midway through the year, they started moving him. They moved him inside and moved Garrett Wilson outside, and that worked a lot better. So that's where I would expect him to have more production, be that slot receiver. I do think there's potential to use him, too, in the quick game and jet sweeps and that kind of thing. He's just a little small. So I know the Jets coach is always just worried about his durability. His rookie year, he ran a jet sweep and got a concussion. He got drilled in Denver and got a concussion, and they kind of backed off of it after that. But, I think he flashes talent all the time. There's some crazy plays he made in training camp where there's a lot of potential there. The Browns just have to bring it out of them now.
You know, you guys just signed Alan Lazard. In terms of the money, right, that you're going to have to pay him versus...
I don't have to pay him. I just
When I say you, I mean, the owners of the Jets. So would fans rather pay Lazard the money? Not even though it's not their money, but in terms of, it affects the cap and all that whole thing. Would they rather have Lazard for his price or have Elijah Moore for his price?
Yeah, I don't think fans viewed Lazard and Moore as a swap, right? So the Jets have Corey Davis on their roster and I think they're probably going to trade him or cut him. There's been a lot of speculation he could be part of the Aaron Rodgers trade. He's got 1 year left at $10 million. Lazard is him. Lazard and Corey Davis play the same position, right? So that's... The fans are excited that they think they got to upgrade over Corey Davis with Alan Lazard. I don't think they view the Elijah Moore part of this as anything to do with Lazard. I think Mecole Hardman was then the one who came in and made Elijah Moore expendable for the Jets. So I haven't really heard any talk about comparing those two players. It's more about Corey Davis with Lazard.
Let me ask you this. Now, I think Aaron Rodgers is interesting. I like everything about Aaron Rodgers when it comes to... I don't always agree with what he says. I just like how authentic he is. And I like the fact that, we know who he dates. And we know that he smokes ayahuasca. And we know that he goes on darkness retreats. But I also understand that covering him might be extremely infuriating. The short time you've now been involved in the Aaron Rodgers fiasco, are you having fun with it? Or do you find him incredibly annoying?
It's not him. I haven't covered him yet. The situation has been a little bit annoying. Just being patient, but he's fantastic for business. So I mean,
and the views are good.
People are reading. People are reading whatever I write about Aaron Rodgers gets read. So that's good for me. So I think it's been great for business. And honestly, guys, like it's been a long, long, long time since I've covered anyone as interesting as Aaron Rodgers. I probably go back, I used to be around the Yankees when the other A-Rod was there, something like that, because the Jets it's been so bad for so long. I guess Tim Tebow, he had a lot, when he was here, he got a lot of publicity, but it's just been a long time. So I am fine with covering Aaron Rodgers and everything that comes with it, because I think it's going to be interesting, and I don't think it's going to be for 10 years. So I'm ready for a 1 or 2 year ride with Aaron Rodgers.
Will Zach Wilson be on the roster?
This year, yes, he will be. He's going to be the backup quarterback. They really can't do anything. I mean, cap-wise, he's on his rookie contract. It makes cutting him, it'll cost more against the cap than it would having him on the roster. No one's trading for Zach Wilson. I know there's been some thought of that, but, his stock is so far down. I don't think the Jets can get anything for him right now. So he'll be here. And he and Aaron Rodgers have a relationship dating back to college and back. Models his game after Aaron Rodgers. That's his idol. So I do think in that regard, it could be beneficial to him versus another veteran quarterback coming in. Like if it was Jimmy Garoppolo, no relationship, I think Zach might bristle a little bit and might not be as accepting of advice. I think he's going to soak up everything Aaron Rodgers tells him because we actually were out in Green Bay 2 years ago. The Jets and Packers had joint practices in Wilson's rookie year. And, he was getting as much time around Aaron Rodgers as he could get. So I do think he'll be accepting of that and trying to learn from Rodgers.
You think OBJ ends up with the Jets or no?
That's a tough one. I mean, there's interest there. I do not know what the price tag is, right? Like, I've seen people have said $20 million. The Jets are not paying him $20 million if there's anyone else. So I think it's a question of when does Odell realize his price has to come down, and will the Jets then meet that price? But, I mean, if Rodgers is pushing for him, I think the Jets are going to do whatever they can to make Rodgers happy. So it could, I think it definitely could happen. I don't think it's happening now. This one feels like to me like maybe after the drafts, Odell looks around and says, okay, this is my best option, and the team say, we didn't get a receiver in the draft, let's go look at Odell. So I think he's going to be on the market for a little while, but I do think he could end up with the Jets.
Brian Costello, New York Post, thank you so much for the insight. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes, and we'll catch up with you down the line. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
I want you to explain to the people what you see with Elijah Moore, whether he'd be on the inside in the slot or whether he should be on the outside.
Yeah, it seems like he's probably based for this system to be more of a slot receiver, you know, especially the way that they play DPJ and Amari on the outside quite a bit. That's what this offense needs, you know. And when you're playing, you know, 11 personnel, which is – but most teams, essentially, that's a base personnel grouping, which is three receivers. I mean, he'll play a ton. And he's fast, and he runs really good routes. I mean, there's just, to me, no downside. Outside the fact that this guy, maybe he's a locker room cancer, which didn't sound like that from talking to our previous guest, I don't see the downside.
It's weird. I related him to OBJ, because remember when OBJ was here, it felt like every wide receiver around OBJ just loved OBJ.
Yeah.
Same thing here with, as best as I can tell, with Elijah Moore. Like, think about the different guys that have already tweeted out in his support since he left. And I know that happens in today's day and age. It's like a common thing. But Garrett Wilson tweeting out, no, with the sad emojis. Michael Carter said, greatness on the way, promise. Like he clearly was beloved in the locker room. And I think it's because of maybe some of the versatility that we're talking about as well. I'm fascinated to find out what he does. I like that you said you want him more in the slot because it kind of fits towards what we do in this offense better. 5'10", not the biggest guy in the world, but
he's big enough.
He's big enough, and he's
and
fast
he's a
enough.
Burner.
He's fast enough where I could see plays. In my mind, I'm seeing plays. You know how you have I'm thinking about that Donovan Peoples-Jones play on the sideline in that Bengals game when Baker threw 5 touchdowns, but it was the most important play of the game. I'm thinking a play like that. That we've seen with DPJ constantly. I'm wondering if a play like that could be used with Elijah Moore and Kevin Stefanski could go ahead and
pull. Certainly possible. It off. Absolutely.
I don't know. Makes sense to me at least. 216-474-0092. We're trying to slot out Elijah Moore. We're trying to find out where exactly he fits in this Browns offense. Yeah, with DPJ and Amari, the cool thing about them is that they're both just so good in general at what they do. It opens up opportunities for Elijah Moore to basically be the best version of himself. But let me ask you, when you watch him, again, we're going to go, I just haven't had a chance to talk with somebody that used to play and really dive deep into this with someone. One thing I feel like I need in the Kevin Stefanski offense is a good route runner, because part of the reason why I think Amari looked better than OBJ in this system is because Amari's a better route runner.
Yeah.
OBJ's a better football player. He's a better wide receiver, but Amari's a better route runner. When you look at Elijah Moore, how good of a route runner do you think he is?
I haven't studied all of his tape. I mean, I've seen him play several games, and I've seen a lot of highlights. I think he's a really good route runner. Ocho Cinco said he's the second best in the game.
High praise.
From somebody who would know.
I'll take it anywhere I can get it. I'm searching for the crumbs, but I want to find them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to love this addition to the team, because I feel like this is exactly what Browns fans were asking for Andrew Berry to make, and the move they were asking for him to make. He went out and did it, and all I see is pessimism across the board, and I'm like, well, let's reel this back. You wanted young, you wanted cheap, you wanted a guy that can be really fast. He does all these things. Sorry that his name isn't DeAndre Hopkins, you know? I'm sorry that he's not your ideal wide receiver that you play with in fantasy football or you play with in Madden and you love. He's not that guy. Not yet, but you see a lot of potential with him. I go back and look at some of the stuff he had at the combine. I mean, it was Henry Ruggs, and then it was him. Henry Ruggs ran a 4.27 at that combine. Unreal. Yeah, I know, it's sad to think about the talent just wasted with Henry Ruggs that way. But he's so incredibly
fast.
There's
more to be sad about with Henry Ruggs.
Well, yes, that's true. There's it's tragedy everywhere involving Henry Ruggs. That's just all that is. But with Elijah Moore, like, he's got a real opportunity. He's got so much talent. There's a reason why at that combine, teams just fell in love with him. Got so much talent, so much to offer a team. I'm just excited to see what the Browns will do with him. And a guy like that is something, they're the type of players I feel like Kevin Stefanski can truly get the best out of.
Well, I mean, there's no excuses now, right? Isn't that the thing? I mean, Deshaun's got all the weapons. Stefanski's got the quarterback. He's got the offense. He got the offensive line. They got the best running back in the game. Like, what more do they need?
I don't know. You know, I tweeted out yesterday because I'm back to tweeting these days. I took a Twitter hiatus. I'm back to tweeting. Yeah. Well, yeah. I like to go through stretches. You know, I had a newborn, and I'm like, it just really, really puts a lot in perspective. You're like, yeah, Twitter doesn't, it just doesn't matter to me. But I was like, you know, I hadn't really been on it, and I've only been promoing stuff at night, and I'm like, that's kind of lame for people.
Right.
So I was like, let's throw out some content. Yesterday, I threw out the idea that within the Bengals, if you like put out the wide receiver room, it's a clear mismatch between the two. You know, Chase Higgins-Boyd is clearly going to be better than Amari, DPJ, and Elijah Moore. But what I thought was fascinating was some Browns fans' responses to that. With the addition of Moore, then they're like, well, wait, pull it back another layer. Add David Njoku, add Nick Chubb. We might not have as good weapons as the Bengals have, but from an offensive perspective, there are a lot of people in my mentions making the case that sans quarterback, take quarterback out of play, we have a better total offense than what the Bengals currently are offering up.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I can see that to some degree. The problem is, I think Burrow is so much better than our quarterback.
Well, and that's like the Patrick Mahomes discussion, right?
Yeah.
Burrow's entering that one of one territory where it's close to being two of two, where it doesn't really matter who's around him. He's just always going to be great.
Yep.
But it is unfair when you think about Burrow and you think about the fact that, wait, so you're dealing with someone like Joe Burrow, who we know is so talented, and he's got better weapons than Deshaun Watson? From a receiver standpoint, that feels a little unfair. That's the guy we're chasing. We're chasing two guys.
We're chasing Burrow. We're chasing Allen. We're chasing Mahomes. We're chasing Herbert.
You want to throw Trevor Lawrence in there?
Lawrence, we're chasing.
Want to throw Herbert in there?
Rodgers, I said Herbert.
Did you?
It's okay. Rodgers.
It's a lot of names in the AFC.
It's a lot of names.
An insane amount of names in the AFC quarterback race. That's why we're trying to match up and figure out, like, I can't live with the idea that Deshaun Watson's guaranteed to be a top five quarterback. I don't know if it's true or not. Time will tell. I just don't know that answer. So I'm trying to figure out where exactly the weapons are, even if he just ends up being top 10. If he ends up, you know, being very, very good, but not to what we saw maybe a few years ago.
Yeah.
What can you work with there? I think that's going to be the real problem or the real discussion. 216-474-0092. Doug, up next in the Fan. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Doug. How's it going, man?
Doing all right. Doing a lot of driving today. But anyway, I was thinking about this with Elijah Moore here. I don't know if they're really going to use him in the slot as much as we expect based off of last year. I mean, we already wasn't really happy about that in the first place, getting switched over to the slot. And, you know, he might be a good depth move behind Amari Cooper if they're trying to get rid of Schwartz. They might even have the guy still on the roster that they want to put in the slot. You know, we might be looking at a lot more like 4 and 5 receiver sets this year. You know, it might be a little different look on offense. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
All right. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate you. What do you think, Dustin? I mean, it's tough. It's going to be very tough. By the way, Elijah Moore did just tweet out. He said, thank you to the Jets organization for taking a chance on me. This opportunity has meant the world. I'm not going to go crazy about this. Why are you thanking the Jets in this scenario? You hated the Jets.
No, but the Jets gave you what you wanted.
Because of the trade?
The Jets got you out of there.
No, I'm looking at this. Do we know that he really wanted to be out of there? You just got Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I don't know.
You just got Aaron Rodgers. I know he had a lot of problems, but they fired before his offensive coordinator that he was really beefing with, right? You land Aaron Rodgers. There's like a turning of the page. In my mind, here's how I look at it, and I might be wrong here, and that's fine. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I'm looking at it like the Jets are saying, you didn't love me at my worst, so you don't get to love me at my very best.
Right.
Jets are like, hey, listen, when we were down in the dumps, had no other options, you were sitting here complaining when we were actually like on a 3-game winning streak before we lost 6 straight to close out the season and the wheels fell off the bus. Like, you didn't want to be a part of us then. So now all of a sudden, when things are good, when we're on the come up, so to speak, because Aaron Rodgers is here, and all of a sudden we're talking about recruiting OBJ. We still have a top five defense. Like, we're going to legitimately play for the postseason. Now you want to be here? No, screw you, man. That's how I took it, at least. I think the Jets front office is cold. I think they're like Taylor Swift, man. They just, they got some revenge going on.
Or they just signed Lazard and basically need an extra draft pick so they can get this Rodgers deal done. Well, you've got a pretty crowded wide receiver room.
Well, if you add OBJ too. Well, Mecole Hardman was the last straw, though. I mean, that's all that was. That was the nail in the coffin for him. You had Mecole Hardman, you don't need Elijah Moore at that point.
Yeah.
He ended his thing here.
What's that?
He says, let's get to work. Glee?
Glee?
Glee, like G-L-E-E, Glee. You know, like the old like show
like
on
the
Fox?
Show?
Yeah. Glee. What kind of sign-off is that?
Maybe that's Glee stands for something. Good luck, everyone else.
That was actually really quick and really smart.
That's probably what it means.
Good luck, everybody else. This is petty. I like this. If that's what that is, if that's good luck, everyone else, that fits to everything we know about Elijah Moore. Is that like an Urban Dictionary? What is
no,
that?
No, I just, maybe it is. I don't know. I just,
first that was thing really
to,
good.
First thing that came to mind.
It was really good. Good Thank luck, you. Everyone else.
Yeah. There you go.
I like petty Elijah Moore. I like him being on Twitter. I like him even in that press conference that we've been playing clips from earlier today. The dude is just a confident guy. I mean, he just reeks confidence. He believes in himself. He feels like he got robbed with the Jets, and I can't blame him. When you're a second-round pick with the world-class speed, you can offer everything to a club, and then you just kind of get ditched and put in the doghouse. I'd be mad at some people, too. I like that we're playing them in the twice this year, the Jets. People are going to talk about the Rodgers-Watson side of this, and they're going to talk about how that's like the main attraction, and it is. But Elijah Moore revenge game being on the cards.
Here for it.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Ron, up next on the fan. Hello, Ron. What's up, man?
Hey, it's Brian.
Oh, sorry, Brian. What's up, Brian?
I can't get that one.
No worries. You know, we were talking a minute ago, and I'm sorry to revert, but you guys kind of went off on Elijah Moore, which is I'm thrilled that he's here, right? But here's the thing. Our quarterback doesn't have to be better than Joe Burrow. Our quarterback doesn't have to be better than Pat Mahomes, thank God. Our quarterback doesn't have to be Josh Allen. Our team just has to be better than their teams. That's the great thing about, I'm not going to tell Dustin Fox anything he doesn't know, but that's the great thing about football is it's our 22 against your 22.
That's my problem, though. You're talking like all 22 versus all 22. Hell, I just brought the Jets into the equation.
Yeah.
Jets had a top five defense. They were 4 in scoring defense last year. They have Garrett Wilson, who is awesome.
Amazing.
1,000 yards his rookie season, no questions asked. You have Breece Hall, who I think would have won rookie
had he
of
not
the
got
year,
hurt,
had he not gotten injured. And then you add all these other pieces mixed with Aaron Rodgers. Like, yeah, the Jets think they're on the come up right now. The Jets think in their mind they're doing really good things. Now, the problem with the Jets, and this is why it never made sense to me why Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets, is that when we reel off that list of quarterback names like we were talking about, there's just so many good ones.
Yeah.
It's like when LeBron was in the East, you tried your best to go to the West. You didn't go to the East. You avoided LeBron. Right now, I would be doing everything in my power if I was a quarterback to find my way as far away from Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow as I possibly can. Forget the fact that you're adding on other guys like Herbert, like Allen, like all these other people that we've been talking about, and the list is 7 or 8 deep, and I don't want to just go down the list, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, it's just, it seems like a dumb decision. But for the Jets, getting rid of Elijah Moore is not, in my mind, them saying we don't think Elijah Moore is talented. It's them saying he didn't get along with anything we were doing here, so why bother?
He was expendable.
He was expendable.
That happens on a lot of teams. There's a lot of good players that become expendable for a variety of reasons. I mean, this whole thing went down in a little bit of a different way because the Rodgers aspect of it, but they've completely revamped that room. And now Rodgers is coming in, and they're like, okay, this guy, we can get a second-round pick for this guy.
I guess what I'm curious to know, though, is where does the reclamation idea come from with the Browns? Let me go for a second here. You got to give him credit for Wyatt Teller. Wyatt Teller was in Buffalo doing absolutely nothing. He came here and then was awesome. You could call that a reclamation project. Now, he didn't have the problems within the locker room or anything like that, but he was basically casted off to being nothing.
Yeah.
Where else are there true hits that way across the board? Because I'm looking more like you don't get credit for Kareem Hunt. He was awesome in Kansas City before he came here. So you don't get credit for that. We saw guys like Austin Hooper be great in Atlanta and then come here and do absolutely nothing. Like I'm trying to figure out where does the audacious nature of them thinking that they can turn nothing into something in the blink of an eye? Where does that come from? What tells them in their track record of wide receivers or offensive guys that they think that they can do that?
Doesn't.
It doesn't. That's what makes me a little hesitant. I love the move. I think it's a great idea. They don't have a long list of guys where I'm like, oh, they turned that wide receiver that was casted off in another place into the world's greatest. No, sorry. We paid Amari Cooper a lot of money. Amari Cooper's great. Mm-hmm. You can make an argument. David Njoku, who's never played for another team but us, has never seen his true potential. The dude's built like a Greek god.
The guy is making more money than Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
He's third of the production.
He's paid an insane amount of money. Like, where is the... I'm just curious. Why do they think that they're the team to do this? I like them taking the chance.
Mean, listen,
I just don't know that it's
going to happen. They're smart.
Yeah.
Smart guys.
Again, from a front office perspective, he checks every box you would want. I like it from that perspective for sure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.